Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Kuf Chav Beit. I'm holding on Kuf Chav Aleph Omud Beit. One line up from the bottom, Rebbe Bar Kahana is where we're up to. Omer Rebbe Bar Kahana. Now, yesterday we had Ma'amorim of Rebbe Bar Kahana with the story of the Niyuti and the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe. And once we started discussing his Ma'amorim about what happened in the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe, we also bring in this Ma'amar of Rebbe Bar Kahana, which has to do with Rebbe as well. And as we're going to see, it's a sneaky way of introducing the next parak, which the Gemara often will do. So that being as the next parak that we have is a discussion about Inyanim of Mukta, and we're about to finish that parak. So he began telling us about the Pamotot Shel Beit Rebbe. Pamot is a lamp, and basically he's referring to either what we would call a pamot, which is something that you put a candle into. They didn't use candles, they used lamps, but it's the same idea. So if you didn't light that lamp on Shabbat, then it is a kli shemalachto le'iser. It's meant to be used for something that's prohibited to do on Shabbat. So that it is a kli shemalachto le'iser. You are allowed to move as long as you're moving it either because you need to use it for something that's permissible to use, or which is called Sarach Gufo, or you need to use its place for something, which is called Sarach Mikomo. So therefore, Tainis Rabbah Bar Kahana, the Rav Chanina said that the Pamotot in Beit Rebbe were mutter to move around on Shabbat. Now these Pamotot in Beit Rebbe, many people would use the menorot that were made out of chuliot, which means different pieces, and you put them together and have where to keep a big menorah all week long. Something like we do with the real big menorahs that come apart, the Shabbos candles and so on. But in Rebbe's home, they didn't use menorah shel chuliot. They kept them in the pamot the way it was the whole time. And it's mutter, he said, to move them around on Shabbat. And of course, that means that they weren't lit on that Shabbat, and it would be at the beginning of Shabbat. It would have been Muktzeh Machlas Iser, which is not to be confused with Klisha Malachto Iser. And even if the fire went out, according to most Shitot, there'd be no way to get around the fact that the Pamot itself would have been a Basis Davar Aser at the beginning of Shabbos, and therefore it would remain Aser all Shabbos. Okay, we'll see more about those details in the next parak. But in any event, Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, what exactly Pamotot Shel Beit Rebbe mean? Are they the smaller Pamotot that Rebbe would use as his desk lamp? Or was it those giant chandelier-type Pamotot that require two hands to hold? So are they benitonim b'yado achat o b'shtei yadayim? Because as we'll see, the more that a kli is considered to have a place which is miyuchet for it, the closer it gets to muktzeh, because it's meant not to be moved around. And therefore, he wanted to know whether this mind of Reb Chanina was referring even to something that was very heavy, and therefore would normally be moved around. So he told him, it's like your father's, you know. Rashi learns that means that it was only small ones. You guys don't have any nice things. So it's the small ones like in your house, but we're not matir using the large ones. Almost all the other Rishonim argue on Rashi and hold it on the contrary. It says that the Gemara, Rabbi Zera's father actually was an official, and he was a tax collector for the government, and so on. He couldn't have been poor. And that, if anything, he's saying just the opposite.
Tax collector.
That's right. So Bo'otan Shel Beit Avicha has got to mean that they are kosher even if they're large. The Omer Baba Bar Kahana, another minor, which also introduces the issues of the Muktzah. The further thing that he said, again, about Beit Rebbe, so once again, the excuses that we're mentioning, my Morim of Rebbe Bar Kahana about Beit Rebbe, that the Kronot Shel Beit Rebbe, the Kronot are like palanquins or various wagons that are brought, that are moved around, but they're, what do they call those things in English? Rickshaw?
Rickshaw?
Yeah. So they're carried around by one or two people. So it's mutter to move them around on Shabbat also. And here too, Rabbi Zera asks, is that meaning talim ba'adam echad or b'shnei b'nei adam? Now here we run into a little bit of trouble, because if you learn that the psak before was indeed you can move a large one, so then you can understand why the Gemara would say, but could you even move a karon that requires two people? But if, the way Rashi is learning, that we're saying that no, it only is a small one, if I can't even move a candle, a lamp, I mean, why would I think that I'd be able to move something like this, which is much larger? I mean, if we already paskined So then he should have known, well, obviously a Koron takes two people, for sure we wouldn't be mad to that. So I mean, there's various answers offered for how Rashi would understand the additional question that maybe there was a stronger reason to Aser Menorah, because Menorah sometimes comes b'chuliot, but the pieces maybe come to put it together, or maybe you'll get confused with a Ner that was Dolak Potar Shabbat. In any event, you could see why it works out a little bit easier according to the other Pshat. And here too, it's a normal like Katan Shabbat Avicha, which again has the same machlok as the previous Beit Avicha. Another minor of Rabbi Abba Bar Chanina and Bar Kahana about Rabbi Chanina is that he tirlahem Rabbi Chanina, the Beit Rabbi, the family of Rabbi, that would come to ask him shailas, he allowed them to drink wine that had been transported in non-Jewish trucks, despite the fact that this wine was only sealed with one chotam. Normally we use the chotam, but the chotam, in order to be matan. I'm not sure, said Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, why he did that. And lo yadani, it might be, imushim desavah like Rabbi Eliezer, he might hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's shita basically is that the idea of a chotam is not that it should be impossible to forge. The idea of the chotam is very much like the way in which we use automobile theft protection. It's not that they can't steal it. It's just that if you have an option to steal something else, you steal the other thing. So it's not that it needs to be non-duplicatable. It just delays them. They lay them and move on to another target of opportunity. Exactly. So I'm not sure whether he holds like that, and that's why he's matur, and he would have been matur no matter whose wine it is, or it's because Dafket was wine for Rebbe, and they were scared out of their wits. Rebbe was so powerful. If they would ever suspect, I mean, they don't dare touch it. You know, it would be like touching, the president's wine. So it could be aimed at the Venusia. You don't start up with these guys. Zakeh the Ganishna, Nachri, Shidlikit Haner. Moving on now to a different issue, which we already opened with the question of Nachri Shabbat Chabot. And there, the issue is that the Nachri was doing something which is beneficial for the Israel, but does not give direct sensual benefit to his body. Now, if you warm up the water for him, or if you turn on the lights for him, that's something else. There we have a different set of stringencies, because you're being nenet directly with your own body from what the goy does. So if a nochri was madliket haner, so if he lights this ner and it's not for the Yisrael, then a Jew can use that ner on Shabbos. He's not in any way mitzvah on the shvita of the goy. But if it was lit for Yisrael, in Bishvil Yisrael, it's aser. Now, even though we said before, what do you mean Bishvil Yisrael? He's always doing things only thinking about himself, because he wants to get paid, or he wants to be good, whatever it is. But that's more, we said before. So again, here is where Tosus explains that that's only where your own body is not what's being nenet from it. But if the point is that it directly reflects on you, then there it doesn't matter whether it's reflecting on you because he has a reason to reflect on you. The bottom line is, it's for you. It's for your body. And therefore, we cannot make that distinction that we made over there between the goy and the kid and so on. So if it was for Yisrael, it would be aser. Milei mayim lashkot behem tospus goes into a bor in Rishut HaRabim. And a bor, of course, is Rishut HaYachid. If the nochri will carry the water out of that bor, then he's doing a malacha d'oraita. So he puts water into a drinking trough for his own animal. And there's water left over. Mashkeach Rav Yisrael, then the Jew can use it for his animal. But if it was done specifically for the Yisrael, then it would be also. If a ship has arrived on Shabbos, now here it's talking about where the ship was betocha tchum before Shabbos. There was no problem getting off the ship, as far as tchumim are concerned. And then the goy makes the ramp to get off of the ship. So the Jew, Yored Acharav Yisrael, the Jew could come off of that ramp. But in Bishvil Yisrael, if it was made for the Yisrael, then it is Osir. In fact, there was a Maaseh, Barabba Gamliel was a Kenim, where they were coming once, and they had arrived before Shabbos in the Tchum, and they were Ba'im Bisvina. A Nochri made a Kevesh Leredbo, and Rabbi Gamliel was a Kenim, went down off of that kevesh. Now, tzricha, we need the cases in the Mishnah. Remember, the three cases are a lamp, a water, that was taken from Mishnah, and the case of the kevesh. Now, tzricha. Because we need these cases, because the Ashwin and Ner, if you tell me the case that a goy lights a Ner, the Yisrael can be nene, well, that's because you can't exactly do more lighting of the Ner just because the Jew is there. A Ner Le'echad is a Ner Le'me'ah. I mean, whatever, he's going to turn on the light, it's the same light. So there's no chashash in that case, if the Jew is then going to go ahead and use it, that the goy is going to do something different. Masha'inke, in the case of the mayim, if the goy sees the Jew there, then he may add water for him, not saying anything. And we have this whole takana that you don't ask a goy to do something to you, and you're not nena when he does something for you, because maybe, there's machlokes, we'll get to that later, maybe you'll then come to tell him to do it for you, or maybe it's all just one of the same iser of not utilizing nochem on Shabbat. But when we get to the main sugi, we'll talk about it. But when it comes to the water, we should be linked to Dima Atila Fushe Bishvil Yisrael. Now, those are the two central concepts that define the cases. Ner Lachad, Ner Lameah, which is a model for the idea of when you're doing something, it wouldn't matter how many people you're doing for. And then there's the Atila Fushe, where you may add. But wait.
You may add.
What about the Kevesh, though? I mean, that is, you know, Kevesh for one is a Kevesh for all. You know, what is that adding? So Kevesh Lomali. No, the Kevesh only came to introduce the actual Maisra of Zakenim. And, of course, we are always interested to bring an actual Maisra Shahaya. And we'll see, we're going to be Medayik various things from the Maisra Shahaya, too. Tan Rabban, Nochrisha Liket Asabi. How about a goy that picks some weeds and grasses to feed his animals? And leave some behind. Machil Acharav Yisrael, the Jew can feed his animal from those things. Now, obviously, he can't pick up those things because they're mukza. They were in the ground before. And, of course, at that point, he wasn't allowed to use them. So, if that's the case, they're certainly mukza, but he could put his animal there and have his animal eat it. But in Bishvil Yisrael, if the Dochri picked it for the Jew, then the Jew's not allowed to be nena from it. Then it is asur. If the Dochri was milei mayim lashkot behemto, then the Jew is mashkach Rav Yisrael. But again, now all of this is very much similar to what we just had, but suddenly we are introducing a new question. When do we say all of this? Only she'in makiro, where the goy is not a friend, doesn't know this Jew. But if it would be makiro, then it would be aser, because then we, at this point, we assume it would be aser, because we are thinking that, well, if he's doing it for the Jew as well. Ask the Gemara, but is that true? First of all, this whole thing doesn't even make any sense. Didn't Rav Huna quote Rabbi Hanina saying that although a person is allowed to take his animal out to pasture, and you'll say, wait a minute, I thought an animal is not allowed to be Machal Shamas. Right? So how can you let your animal dig up things on Shabbos to eat? Isn't that Ketzira? Actually, Breita discusses this issue and says that leman yanuach, when it comes to an animal, means exactly what the Reform says it should mean for people. You're supposed to feel good. This is not leman yanuach. This is tsar. The poor animal's not allowed to eat. Come on. So for an animal, it's understood that it's not a mental rest. It's an actual rest. And therefore, it's got to be that the Torah is not telling you that you can't let your animal eat. So fine, you take your animal, and you can let him out to pasture. But that's because we do not have any suspicions that you may forget yourself and pick something to hand it to your animal. But on mukta, well, mukta, I mean, it's not attached to the ground. I mean, there you're not even allowed to put your animal on the mukta because you're not going to be that mock, but you'll forget and you'll put some of that mukta in the animal's mouth if it's not eating properly. You know, like the mothers do to their children. Come on, baby, have a little of this stuff. And therefore, even though, so before we get to the question about the goy, I mean, what about the problem of it's anyway being mukta? How could you do this? Let's stick to the main issue, okay? It doesn't mean that you actually put him there. It means the koim labapa. What you do is you keep standing in front of the animal until it has nowhere else to go. And then it gets there on its own. That's the point. You're not allowed to put the animal. Now, can we get back to the question, please? So the koim labapa, azakiva achu. Now, my problem is like this. You're saying, bamed vorim amurim, chain makiro. You said it's got to be that the guy doesn't know him. But if he knew him, then it would be awesome. Then how do you explain the case in the Mishnah? And this is one good reason for us to have brought that case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Avliel is like one of the most famous people. This guy has been on the boat with him for 2 weeks. You're telling me he didn't know what Rabbi Avliel was? That's ridiculous. And they went down on this kevesh. So how do you explain Rabbi Avliel, the guy was Makiro? So if you're really choshesh, that if he's Makiro, then he's doing it for him. So why did Rabbi Gamliel go down? Omer Abaye shelo befanav havi. Says Abai that he wasn't standing there. And since he wasn't standing there, and the guy is not in his presence, he certainly has no interest in doing anything for him. So then when he makes the ramp, it's an exit ramp for himself. Rava says, nah. This business of Makiro was referring to what case? Where the guy had picked hay. If he's Makiro, he may pick more hay. What's he going to build? A different ramp? Because it's a Rabbi Gamliel ramp, so now it's a different ramp? That's the same as the case of Ner Lechad, Ner Lemeah. It's not going to apply the difference in Makiro in a Makiro. Therefore, Afilatema Bifanav, this follows the model of Ner Lechad, Ner Lemeah. If you're making an exit ramp, it's the same exit ramp no matter who makes it, who it's for. And therefore, if the guy is going to be using this exit ramp, why should Rabbi Gamliel not use it? But wait, in the Abraita it says, Rabbi Gamliel turned to his friends and said, well, being as this guy made the ramp not in front of us, let's go down it. Mashma, that Rava is wrong, and that in fact the only reason they used it was because it was shalo b'fanav. Well, we have to change that. It's not that Rabbi Gamliel said, since he didn't make it in front of us. He said, well, since he already made it, we might as well go down. That's what he said. Now, by the way, Tosfos Tainas, that it's very mistaber that Abaya agrees to the overall principle of Rava, that ner le'achad, ner le'meyah. It would make no difference if it's makiro or not makiro, except where there's a chashash that shemayar le'mishvilo. The only reason that in this case he insisted that it was not the fanav, the difference of b'fanav v'shalo b'fanav, I meant, sorry, the difference of b'fanav v'shalo b'fanav, that is because that since Rabbi Gamliel was so chashev, that over there, if it would have been b'fanav, the chashad was that the entire focus would have been to find favor in his eyes and to do something for the guy that's chashev. But in a normal case, the difference of his being makiro or not, and b'fanav or not, in where he's makiro, shouldn't really matter.
Isn't
if it's in ner le'achad, ner le'meyah.
Isn't about a goy? And that aspect of showing respect for
him? Yeah, of course. Remember, even if he has ulterior motives, it doesn't matter, as we said before, because you're using it personal. Not the equivalent of putting out the fire. You don't use any unknown person. Tashma, how about this case? In a city which Yisrael v'nachrim darim betocha, it has a mixed population of Jews and non-Jews, and it has a non-Jewish bathhouse, which is open on Shabbat, and they heat the water on Shabbat, and so on. V'altaba merchatz merachetzet b'Shabbat. Can a Jew go in on Motzei Shabbat immediately or not? Because in any of the cases where we have to assume that something was done for a Jew on Shabbat by a goy, the klal is that the Jew cannot be nene from that, and therefore he needs to wait on Motzei Shabbat the amount of time it would have taken to get that done. In which case, if the goy took into consideration heating the water for the Jew during Shabbat, then the Jew has to wait after Shabbat. He can't go straight to the bathhouse. So that's what I want to know. What's the din over there? Well, it depends. Im rov nochrim mutar lirchotz ba miyad. If most of the population is non-Jewish, then right after Shabbos, you can dash into that bathhouse. But if most of the population is Yisrael, then you have to wait and yamtin b'chdei she'yechamu chamim. How do you explain that? I mean, is this not a case of basically heating the same water? So why isn't this exactly the issue that you said, ner le'acha, ner le'meah, you're going to be heating your entire water boiler anyway. You don't heat half of a water boiler. And therefore, chimum le'achad is also chimum le'meah. And if that's the case, it's basically not, it doesn't work out according to any Shabbos. It's shalo b'fanav, the Jew isn't there on Shabbos, right? And it's a ner le'achad, ner le'meah, so whether you hold of Rav or you hold of Abaye, this doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara, here it's different. Because hatam ki mechamame, adaita deruba mechamame, where you are dealing with a clientele, then your clientele in your mind is very well defined. Who is my clientele? If most of the people using this bathhouse are Jewish, then that is what you're thinking about, because that's your profit. And because of that, it's as if they were mechamame specifically for Yisrael, because it's adaita deruba mechamame. ask the Gemara, well, what about this case?
So they would not be able to use it.
They would not be able to use it. First of all, how about a case where you have a ner, hadaluk b'misiba? Here you've got this catering event going on. A lot of people are there. You're outside, and everybody's skating, whatever the case may be. And they light fires. Goyim, of course. So there, imrov nochrim. So most of the people out there are going, mutar lishtamesh lora, the Jew is allowed to use it. But imrov yisro, it's usr. For that matter, even it's mechtzal mechtz, it's usr, because it's just as much yisro. So how do you explain that? Now, isn't this exactly the same case? Why do we need to ask this case? Because it's exactly the same. We could say the same teretz. The Gemara does say the same teretz. And the answer that's offered by some of the Mefarshim is a very, very reasonable answer. And that is, where you're dealing with a bathhouse, where you, first of all, it's a heck of an expense to heat up that bathhouse. And it's an awful lot of work to heat up that bathhouse. Over there, if the rove would be missing, you might not even do it. So over there, I would think it isn't just the function of your minds on that. It's that's your whole profit margin, and that's why you're doing it. Mashenke, turning on the light, I mean, what's the difference? So maybe for turning on the light, we thought it wouldn't matter. We wouldn't say that your das is on the road. Therefore, answers the Gemara, Hatam Nami, Ki Madlake, Adaita Deruba Madlake. The essential act that's done is done for the rove, and therefore, even if it's mechza al mechza, it's just as much Yisrael. Now, Shmuel once came to Ovin's house in Turan, and Atahu Nachri, Hatik Shraga. A goy came around and turned on the lights. Now, Shmuel assumed that the goy had certainly was doing it over here because his presence was there, and, you know, I mean, would have been the Iker Daite, would have been on him and Robin and Ovin. But then the goy takes out his checkbook and starts reading it, balancing his checkbook in the light of that lamp. So then it was clear that his intention had nothing to do with them, it was for him. He needed to look at his checkbook. So then, when he sees that the goy is sitting and reading through his own personal documents, then he said, oh, if that's the case, here he lit it for himself, we just happen to be here, and I think the world revolves around me. I mean, this guy may not have even noticed me. He was just turning it on because he wanted to read his checkbook. And then, Hadrinu Ape, whereas before, Hadrinu Shmuel Ape, Shmuel turned away from the lamp because he didn't want to be netted from the or. Now he turned his face back to face towards the light and enjoy its lovely glow. Hadra Alach Kol Kitvei HaKodesh. So before we begin the Mishnah in the next part, let's just recognize that the Inyan of Kol HaKelim, which of course opens up the sugya of Muktzeh, as I mentioned earlier, which we introduced with the Ma'amorim of the Palmatot of Beit Rebbe and the Kronot of Beit Rebbe, as we often do, has a long history. We know from the Gemara much earlier in the Masechta that describes the death of David HaMelech, it was a problem of moving his body on Shabbos. They came up with this whole plan, put something on the body, and so on and so forth. So obviously, there was already in the time of David Vishlomo, there was already a concept of Muktzeh. And that concept goes hand in hand with the Torah, as the Rambam understands it, to be very much part of the rest of this Masechta, which is all about carrying. And carrying is tiltal. So generally, carrying is only, of course, from one rishus to another. But the entire issue of carrying is apparently very sensitive in the Torah. And therefore, the Rabbanan extended the idea of carrying not even within a single rishus, if you don't need the kli in particular ways. Now, it started where a person was mekatzeh dato, that's a given. You never intended to carry this before Shabbos. This person wasn't dead before Shabbos. You didn't intend to carry this rock before Shabbos. It wasn't a kli that was a human kind of focus. And therefore, it was a given that they didn't carry things that literally were huktzo. So it means out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. I never intended to use that kind of thing. Then came along, many centuries later, the crisis at the time of the Aliyah Shnia to build the second Beit HaMikdash. As we saw in the story in Nehemiah, there was a tremendous amount of Chilul Shabbos that was going on in terms of buying and selling and transporting goods on Shabbos. And at that point, they felt that there was nothing to do to restore Shabbos except to make what was known as the historical Gezerat Kelim. So up until that time, the concept of a kli being muktzeh didn't make any sense. If it's a kli, it's a human device, and therefore by definition is usable by humans on Shabbos. However, they made a gezeirah, and the original gezeirah was very, very strict. Very strict. They didn't allow any sleeping in Daf Yomi in those days. And what the gezeirah was, you can't move anything. Doesn't matter if it's a kalisha malach to l'isser, it doesn't matter if it's a kalisha malach to l'heter, you are allowed to move your dishes, your forks, your knives, and whatever is absolutely essential for your Suda Shabbos, and nothing else. Kalim, when I say nothing else, kalim. That doesn't include svarim, but kalim. So this was the original gezeirah, an extremely tough gezeirah, and this went on for hundreds of years. Now, gradually, the chumrah of Shabbos was regained. There came to be a yeshiv in Eretz Yisrael that was well-versed in halacha, that never slept through Daf Yomi, and gradually they relaxed the standards of Gezeirat Kelim. How far they relaxed the standards is a big machlokas in the Gemara, as we're going to see. Whether they relaxed it entirely and there's no muktzah, which is Rabbi Shimon Shita, which we'll see doesn't quite mean no muktzah, but almost the idea of no muktzah, or whether there are certain issues that still were makbid on. Now, when we say no muktzah, that doesn't mean that there's no restraint on moving. It means that something, whether it's a klisha malach tala heter or a klisha malach tala iser, can be used if you need to use it. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean you can go moving around things for no reason. That is still a concept of muktzah. Perhaps even things that are mutter to move, you can't move for no reason, just for the heck of it. So if it's something which is, we're used to thinking, you can't use that on Shabbos, sure you can use it on Shabbos. You just can't use it for what it's meant to be used, perhaps, and then it becomes a klisha malach tala iser. But you could use it for what is not its normal usage, but is certainly within the utilization ability of this kli, and therefore, we begin with a Mishnah that talks about two issues. One that sets us up with the idea of kelim that have broken on Shabbat. Now, these kelim that are broken on Shabbat, now, these are things that bother us because they seem to be not what they were. If they're not what they were, perhaps they go back to being nothing. As we said, well, rocks you can't move. So maybe a broken kli is equivalent of a broken body, a dead body. You can't move the body, you can't move the kli. However, if something was a kli, and now let's say its cover breaks off. So let's say you have a box that has a cover that opens and closes. So then, kol ha-kelim nitalim b'Shabbat, you're allowed to move all kelim on Shabbos, which means, even if they're a kli shemalach tala iser, you can move them as long as you need to move them. Even daltoteim b'imahim, even their covers, and that would be afal pishin nitparku, even though they have fallen off their hinges. Now, this word b'Shabbat does not belong there. And we're going to see, the Gemara is going to discuss it. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about the fact that you're not allowed to use a door that has fallen off its hinges on the house. And that is true. You're not allowed to move it. Because in Adomim the Daltot HaBayit, it's not the same thing at all. The Daltot HaBayit are Eino Min HaMuchan. They didn't start being a kli. They started being basically something attached to the ground. There was no way that you were going to use that thing on Shabbos. When it comes to a box with a top on it, there was every reason that you were going to use that on Shabbos. And you still can use it on Shabbos. And despite the fact that it may not be in its hinge, you put it on its hinge after Shabbos. But it doesn't lose its shame clean. Now, more than that, you can even take something that you think, oh, I'm not allowed to use that on Shabbos. Take a hammer. If you need the hammer to break open some nuts. Now, there's a big machlokas here, whether this is talking about where the hammer is the best tool for the job, and therefore you need the hammer, or whether you're just too lazy to bring your nutcracker and there's a hammer sitting there. That's about chokas. Does it have to give you something specific you wouldn't get elsewhere? But you can use a hammer and a hammer blow.
If I had a hammer, lift, sir,
yes, don't remind me. Oh, boy. So if you needed to break open some real hard nuts, you can go right in and break those walnuts. You can take a kardum. You can take a hatchet if you got a really hard, Well, maybe if it's not hard, that's dependent on the machloket. But if you want to use a hatchet to cut through a dvela, which are pressed figs, sometimes those figs get really hard, you got to hatchet your way through, you can do that. You can take a saw to cut through cheese, you know, like gorbat agvina. You could take a magrefana. Rashi, it's mash from the Rashi. Rashi says, because it's mimaheret lachtoch davar av. So some want to be medayik in a few of these Rashis. It's only because it's a better tool. But of course, Rashi may simply be explaining why somebody would be so crazy as to take a carpenter's saw to cut through his cheese. And by the way, there is some question whether there is a carpenter's saw, because we'll see later on, a truly professional saw may be muktzeh machmaski saron kis, because you don't use it for other things. Even though the Rambam says this is referring to a real carpenter's saw, obviously there are carpenter's saws and carpenter's saws. I mean, you know, is it a Sears set? You know, what was the name? The Craftsman, my God. Is it a Craftsman? There you go.
Walmart.
Exactly.
How would cheese ruin a saw?
Was that?
How would cheese ruin
it? It's not going to ruin it. It's that you would never use your good saw for doing other things.
Well, Rashi, being a wine guy, would probably have a special set of knives for cheese anyway.
Right. Magrefa. Ligrov bata grogrot. You take a shovel because you want to take your dried dates. You could take a rachat and a malgez, which we said before is a mazleg in modern Hebrew. The otiot are reversible. So the rachat is like a flat plate that they would use for putting the grain on for the disha. And the mazleg would be a small fork. So if you, it's interesting, I'm saying, yeah, but this is obviously a smaller version. But here it's talking about an adult who didn't have water for washing nagelvasser. So he can't feed the child directly. It's interesting, wrong. So he's got to take it and put it on something in order to give it to him. So, okay, so you get the feet to a cotton. You could take a kush and a karkar, which is the kush is the spindle that the women use for spinning the threads. And the karkar we had before, remember, that's that sharp, long tool that you use for separating the threads in the weaving machine. But, you know, if you need to spear yourself in a martini, a nice olive, you could always take a karkar from the knitting machine. You could take a machat shel yad. You could take a sewing needle to take out a splinter. We talked about that coats. You can take a knitting needle, which is a long one, if you want to break into a house. We've talked about that. They're very good for breaking into locks, you know. So you could just feel where...
You can also stab somebody with it.
Yeah, it's very good for stabbing or car stealing. So in all these cases, it's basically kelim that malak tamar le'isser. But, as we said, kol ha'kelim nitalim b'shabbat, as long as you are going to be using them. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Kol ha'kelim nitalim b'shabbat afa pish nitparku. That sounds like they were nitparku b'shabbat. That's how the confusion got in the Mishnah with that word, extra word b'shabbat. So the Gemara's Avamina was that since it's kol ha'kelim nitalim b'shabbat afa pish nitparku means even though they were mitparek on Shabbat, that does make sense. You're telling me even on Shabbat, but lo mi boy b'chobat, for sure, if they were broken before Shabbat, just the opposite. Basically, as we're going to see, we determine the status of a kli almost always by its status at the beginning of Shabbat. So what was the din ben hashmashot? So if they broke on Shabbat, since at the beginning of Shabbat, muchanim agabe avihen, they were basically part of usable kelim while they were attached to the hinge, okay? If they broke off during the week, then at the beginning of Shabbat, they were, if anything, less muchan to be kelim than they were on Shabbat. So I don't get the way you're saying the Mishnah. Rabbi, well, you know, you're jumping to conclusions. The way to read the Mishnah is achikama. Kol ha'kelim nitalim b'shabbat with their doors. Af al pish nitparku b'chol. I don't care when they were mitparku. Even if they were in b'chol, they're nitalim b'shabbat. Where did it say anything about when they broke? So it was a wrong diak. Now, tanrabana, a delet of a shida, a teva, of a migdal. So these are large containers or closets, those little boxes that you put the linen in next at the bottom of your bed, you know. So you are allowed to take off the doors, which sounds like you could take the little piece out of the hinge and remove the door completely, nitolim. And then, so you're allowed to take a note, but you can't put them back on. And if it's a lul shel tarnagolim, if it's a chicken coop, you can't take the door off or put them on. I don't get this halacha. I mean, the second part makes a lot of sense. Bishlama, a lul shel tarnagolim. So a lul shel tarnagolim is connected to the ground. So obviously the Tana holds that kiven demekubrayla ba'ara. So then if I do something, I'm being osik and binyan and stira, right? I mean, if I put on a door on a house on Shabbos, obviously that's binyan. What's the difference if it's a chicken coop or a house? And if I take a door off of a chicken coop, obviously that's stira. So yesh binyan bekarka and yesh stira bekarka. Okay, that's fine. But what about that first part? I don't understand. The first part said, shidate vave migdal. I can take the door off, but I can't put it on. Now, Micah Sofer, what does this Tana hold about building when it comes to kelim? Ika Sofer yesh binyan bekelim. If he holds there's such an iser as binyan, even though it's not something attached to the ground, so then there would also be stira bekelim. So you're telling me I can't put the door on, why can I take it off? There's never a difference between binyan and stira. Either it's possible to build, if it's possible to build, it's possible to unbuild. There's construction and deconstruction. And if you hold ain't stira bekelim, if there's no problem taking the door off, then what the heck is the problem putting the door on? Then ain't binyan bekelim. Amar Abaye. Look, it's got to be that we've misread this. He must hold yesh binyan bekelim, because he says you can't put the door on. So lo olam kasava yesh binyan bekelim, v'yesh stira bekelim, and when it says over here, you can take it off, okay, it says not lin, that's wrong. It's not not lin, it's shenit lu, if they were removed. Oh, says Rava, that's a marvelous pshat, except for two very minor issues. One is that it says you could take it off, not that they were removed. Okay? That's the one minor issue. Chora, nitolin katani, notolin katani, the ode, and if you're learning the way you're learning, can you explain the second part? But you can't put them back on. What do you mean, but you can't put them back on? You didn't take them off. You didn't take them off. Why do you say, but you can't put them back on? You never told me I could take them off to say, but. There's no buts. This is not a good shot, my dear. Elam arva altai. The truth is that the Tana, being as he allows you to take those doors off of their hinges, obviously holds that there's no stira bekelim. If he holds there's no stira bekelim, he also holds there's no binyan bekelim. So that would not be the problem. The problem is that if you're going to put the door back on, now then you may screw it in tightly. And if you screw it, when you take something off, you just take it off. But if you finish something up, you're already getting into a problem of makab apatish, don't you? So forget about binyan and stira. You do that last twist of the screwdriver. That's makab apatish. Exactly. So therefore, we can always be more makil if there's not an issue of binyan and stira. We can always be more makil of letting something out than in putting it back in. So the same thing would be true about your glasses. Glasses got loose. You want to take something out of the glass if you're letting stira became it. But to screw the screw back into your glasses, to connect the temple to the glasses. Oh, there you got into a problem. Is there? In fact, you might come to actually be mitaken, in a sense, a makabe patish. Om rebaba parkanam rebe kanina pamototcho beit rabbi mutar letaltalan b'shabbat. Om le rabbi zera, minitalin biyado achat, o b'shte yadayim. Omar lo, ki otan sho beit avich, avicha. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. V'yom Rababa Bar Kanam Rav Chanina Kronot Shabbat Rabbi Mutar L'Taltalam B'Shabbat Omar Lei Rabbi Zera B'Nitalim B'Adam Echad U'B'Shnei B'Nei Adam Omar Lei Kotan Shabbat Avicha. Once again, according to Rashi, Osir if they're large, according to the other Rishonim, like either way. V'yom Rababa Bar Kanam Yitir Lehem Rabbi Chanina L'Beit Rabbi L'Shtot Yain B'Kronot Shon Nochri B'Chotam Echad was a special case. Israel, Israel asur. Israel, Israel asur. A son nachri kevish leredbo from the boat. Yored achrav Israel. V'mishvil Israel asur. Maaseh b'Rabat Gamliel v'zikinim shayu ba'im b'sfina v'yaseh d'okri kevish l'redbo v'yardu b'Rabat Gamliel v'zikinim v'tzricha. Tiyash min a ner, I would say over there, it's mutter for the soul of shtamish b'shum b'ner echad, ner l'meyah. Well, for mayim, l'igzer d'yama atil afushe b'shvil Yisrael. Yeah, and what about the kevish l'amalik? The kevish was because of the maaseh r'amiliel v'zikinim kabashma. Tan Rabban, n'okri shalikit asabim. Machilach Rav Yisrael, v'mishvil Yisrael asu. Mile mayim lashkot b'em tov, hashkiach Rav Yisrael, v'mishvil Yisrael asu. מה דברים אמורים שאינו מכירו, אבל מכירו אסור. איני? אמר רבונו, אמר רבי חנינה, מעמיד אדם באמתו אגבי עשבים בשבת, אבל לא אגבי מוקצה, and this is מוקצה. It doesn't mean מעמיד here, it means תקוים לו בפה ואז להיבחלה. But anyway, here's my problem. Well, man, Rabbi Gamliel was sure a case of makiro haya. On Rabbi, well, that's because we're shalom b'fanav. Rav Amar afilu tema b'fanav. You don't make this nafka mina in the case of ner lechad ner lemeah. It's only a nafka mina where he may be meifish b'shvilo. Meitve. Marlon Rabbi Gamliel, Ha'il shalom b'faneinu asa onerit bo. Exactly the opposite of Rabbi. Already, we might as well be Nerebo. Toshma, here she is, Raven Achrim Darim Betocha, Vaitaba Merchat, Samrachetzit Peshabat, or Mechamemet Peshabat, other hand. Imrov Nochrim Butar Lachos Pamiyan, Imrov Yisrael Yam Tin Bechtashi Yachabu Chami. Yeah, Batam Kibachami, may I die to the Ruba Mechami. Toshma, Ner Hadaluk Bemisiba. Imrov nochrim mutarish tamesh lora. Imrov Yisrael asur and even mechzal mechzal asur. Atamami ki madlake adaiti deruba madlake. Shmuel ikla lebe avin toran. Atahu nochri adlik shraga. Adrinu shmuel ape. Kima dechazu deaiti de goi shtar. Vekakori. Adaiti nafsho yehudi adlik. Adrinu yehudi ape gabe shraga. Hadron Allah, all kitvei hakodesh.